Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Összul, Gabir úr. Jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Hello, Beastians, and this is Beastcast number 36. This is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, but we're going to still have an episode, right? So, what has happened new in the world of Nerd? So apparently, there's some new news for the Fantastic Four reboot, and that Mark Miller is writing it, and it could be good. I'm not saying Mark Miller isn't a good writer, but he's somewhat of a asshat. I don't know. I don't know. It's just... Anyway. So apparently Mark Miller was just saying that on Twitter, like, just off the phone with Fox and some excellent news, Matthew Vaughn is producing Josh Trank's Fantastic Four. Josh Trank. Ugh, the Chronicle dude. Yeah, and he did this. Josh Trank is the same guy who did this video how, like, Superman's death ruined every comic book with how lame it is, and I'm so hipster guy, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fuck you. Seriously, Josh Trank. Maybe Chronicle is good. I don't know. Maybe. But it has all the fucking shit that I hate about today's society. Anyway, that apparently it has been speculated that Fox is thinking, you know, since they're still doing well with X-Men, since they also have Fantastic Four, to make a cinematic universe like Marvel's The Avengers. And I'm so sick and fucking tired of everybody wanting to be now Marvel. You know, it's like we would have a Marvel universe that has everything except Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, and X-Men. And then we have a Marvel Universe where there's only Spider-Man. And then we have a Marvel Movieverse, where they have Fantastic Four and X-Men. Which are two franchises, which are two groups that they have interacted. I mean, Hal Beast was a Fantastic Four for a while. But my issue is, I want to have the Fantastic Four in the real Marvel movieverse. I don't want to see this reboot happening. I want to see it fail. Yeah, I know. How dare I say that? Well, have you seen the first two Fantastic Fours? Right. I'm not saying they were the most horrible superhero movies ever, but it's not a superhero movie that I'm really looking forward to watching again. I mean, you had, if you forget that, you know, what is it, Jessica Alba's ass, it was pretty hot in the tight outfit. She wasn't a good Sue Storm, you know. It was like the Latino girl playing a blonde girl. And I know, I get it. Superheroes are all the fucking Aryan race. Everybody's white and blonde, whatever. I get it. It was made in a very racist time. But there's enough superheroes that are black, Asian, Latino, whatever, you know, Native American. Hell, what is with that one Native American X-Men when they rebooted X-Men? I forgot his name because he died pretty early, and he died in a really cool, epic fashion. What is with him? You know, I want to see him in a movie. But that's the thing, is that there's so many goddamn blonde actresses out there. The only reason they got Jessica Alba is because she's hot. And I'd say Jessica Alba could have played many of the various X-Men, you know. You know, I mean, there would have been at least a couple of characters that she could have played. But the thing is, she's not a good actress. She's hot as hell, yes. But Fantastic Four, it needs good actors, you know. The only guy I really liked was Michael Chiklis as the Thing. And Chris Evans as Torch was pretty cool. But, you know, he's a better Captain America, definitely. And it's not his fault, it's the movie's fault. Still, he was a cool Torch. I mean, he was how Johnny Storm is supposed to be. Cocky, hot-headed, you know. the guy was Reed Richards. You know, he looked like Reed Richards, but he was just like, you know, I've seen this him act in Amazing Grace. He's a British dude, I believe. And anyway, he's great. Good actor. Didn't work for Mr. Fantastic, you know, really. There wasn't really enough action either. There was, really, you had the origin story where they're figuring out their powers. And one of the big action scenes was just them being on the street and, the thing standing in the way of a car, that car exploding, Sue Storm getting invisible. Really, there was really one proper fight on the end. And there was some kind of saving bullshit, you know, which counts as action. And in the second one, it was the same thing. You had always these very short action quips, and then you had the final battle, you know. It like, and the biggest bullshit was when Silver Surfer does the MacGuffin blasts, and it just conveniently heals Dr. Doom's face so that actor can have FaceTime. And like, bullshit, you just fucked with the wrong thing. You never see Dr. Doom's face after he has been scarred. It's a rule. You just don't do it. And you do not heal him up. I don't know, probably in the fucking 500 issues of Fantastic Four, something like that happened. Hell, the thing has been transformed back into Ben Grimm a couple of times. So I didn't have a problem with that happening, and it was obviously again for FaceTime. And in the second one, they were at least a little bit creative with it, that they had then Johnny gain all the powers, and he became basically Super Skrull Johnny, you know? And I was like, you could have had Super Skrull, and you kind of fucked it up. And you had instead fucking Fart Galactus. I'm like, you took one of the greatest, most epic stories of superheroes, the Galactus storyline, and you made Galactus a fart because you didn't have the balls. You didn't have the balls to make a true shared universe. The most you did was a small Franklin Richards name in the second X-Men when that chick was looking on the screen. I mean, it's so pussying it out on it. It's like not even funny. And now you're announcing, oh, maybe we'll do a cinematic universe like Marvel does. Because we're Fox. Like, what the fuck, Fox? Just give it up. Fine, your X-Men movies, fine. You're not going to give that up. I just want you to give up on Fantastic Four. Because you're going to fuck it up. I guarantee you're going to fuck it up. And I want to see the Fantastic Four. And I can wait for the Fantastic Four movie. Hell. With the being it in Phase 3 or something. Or Phase 4 of the Marvel. Yeah, but I believe there's going to be a Phase 4. I mean, if nothing else, it's just going to be rebooted. But it's I want them in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I don't want to have two separate ones, because that's going to be just a whole thing of awkward. In a way, it's cool, but it's again everybody jumping on the bandwagon. Now they have announced with Spider-Man that they want to take all their characters and make a cinematic universe. I'm like, you don't have that many characters that you can make movies off of. Okay, maybe a Venom movie, maybe. But I don't know, because Venom, not every superhero needs a movie, seriously. As much as I like them, there's a lot of characters that could be cameos and side characters and shit, but not every movie, I mean, a lot of them, almost anyone could work in a TV series of some sort, especially the lower tier guys, you know. But the big ones need movies, you know, I mean, and they need good ones. That's what I'm saying, you know, because people still think that the Incredibles, that the Fantastic Four movie ripped off the Incredibles, a lot of the general audience, you know. And because the Incredibles took Fantastic Four and made it into a family-friendly Pixar movie. They changed the powers around, but pretty much it's the same kind of super family, you know. I mean, you have one girl who has the whole invisibility shield thing, and you have the little blonde kid who's obviously Johnny Storm, but instead of fire powers, he's got super speed, you know, and that works. And then you got, of course, the stretching power now, the mom has it, and then the dad, he's got the super strength, but it's so close, you know. I mean, even on the very end of that movie, they had a villain that was just like the Mole Man dude, you know. He was exactly the same thing. And if that's, I mean, it was a homage. It was like, they were big fans. I mean, they would have made probably Fantastic Four, but it was better that it was original because they could do their own thing without worrying. Because Fantastic Four deserves a live-action movie, and some people have said, oh, Fantastic Four is too corny, and I'm like, goddamn Avengers, I never thought that would get a movie, you know, so, yeah, definitely works. It's just the movies didn't leave a too good impression to a lot of people. I mean, they weren't horrible, but they weren't that great either. They had a lot of problems, you know, and they aren't superhero movies that are gonna be remembered, you know. They're gonna be more or less, you know, not thought about well. You know, it's. I mean, that it got a second one that showed that there was some success, but with the second one, they really wanted it to be more successful because, I don't know, like, I'm just like, I want it in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's that simple. Like, it would be so funny just to see something really short, like Captain America meets Johnny Storm. And he just has, maybe it's kind of a weird feeling, like I have this weird feeling that I met you before, or something, you know, or he reminds me of me as a kid, or something like that. And that would be a great moment, just like hinting at some meta shit, you know, like, and it's like, basically, we're talking here now about a multiverse, so if Fox does it, it could be cool. But there's not that many stories that involve the X-Men and the Fantastic Four together. Now, I know probably Marvel lore masters are going to be like, oh, that's not true, blah, blah, blah. But other than Beast, I don't know who any other... I know he wasn't... He is in the most recent... Well, not the most recent. I don't know. They're changing it every fucking 10, 20 issues. At least there was a time, I think, with the future, when they were the Future Foundation, when Torch died... again, but obviously he's going to come back. And they were all dressing in white, and they had a bunch of other characters too, but one of the core group, also Spider-Man, was in there, which I thought was cool because, you know, he had a new suit, and Spider-Man is, you know, especially now they put him in every group. Like, back in the day, that was unthinkable. That was a what if Spider-Man was part of the Fantastic Four, and like, he was, you know, because Spider-Man always worked alone because, you know, he had to protect his identity, and he wanted to protect others, and he was like that because that's how Spider-Man is. But now he's like in every goddamn team, but it's still cool, but it's just weird, you know. But still cool, you know. I mean, he would team up with anyone for a short period, you know, but that's like a short thing. That's like in City of Heroes or like a MMO is like, okay, we make a party for a short time, but then we move on, we do our own shit, you know. Especially guys like Punisher, Venom, Daredevil, you know, they work alone. They don't, you know, they work alone. So, you know, I mean, if you think about it, they have their own beef, they have their own stuff going on, you know, so that's just how it is. Okay, what is else there in the world of geeks? Okay, you know, I mean, with DC again, I'm always going back to DC, but, you know, there's no real... Okay, there has been a new trailer for Marvel Heroes, that MMO, where you can play the main characters instead of just making your own characters, and the main heroes, they, you know, they team up with you or something, like DC Universe Online does it. Now, there's still a lot of talk about, is this going to be, you know... Is this gonna be good? You know, is this gonna be is this gonna be like everybody? You're gonna have 1,000 Wolverines and 100 Iron Mans and 500 Spider Mans, then one Squirrel Girl. You know, it's, you know, I don't know yet. I'm really excited for it because they are trying something else, and it's not the typical third-person view MMO, so it's going to be like a Diablo style, so like an action MMO from top down. So I'm excited for that, and And I'm just, in general, excited. I'm going to give everything a shot. It's going to be free to play, which means... Free to play means you can play the game, but it's limited to a degree. And you have to... You can pay for new features, like, for example, new costumes, new characters. Like, you can start with a character and play the game, and you can choose probably between a bunch of characters, but I'm pretty sure some characters are going to be locked, and you're going to be able, and that's fair, you know. You're getting a game, and you can play it for free. That's already a big thing, and they still want to make money with this, because the game like this costs a lot of money, you know, so... Okay, here's the stupid comments, like, and in full caps. At first glance, the beginning looked like an army of kickasses. Okay, he's referring to the trailer. This is on the superhero hype website. And in the trailer, in the beginning, you see Hydra agents talking about shit, you know, trying to prepare for an attack, and then Thing pops up and punches him in the face. And how hilariously wrong this young Padawan is. It's not even funny. Like, young kickasses. There are Hydra agents. Hydra, and in general Marvel, have existed way before Kick-Ass ever did. So if anything, Kick-Ass looks like a shitty Hydra agent. You know what I mean? Get it straight, dude. Know what was there before and after. You know, I mean... And don't write in fucking caps like a goddamn idiot unless you want to yell constantly, you know. It's just not... comments. I'm so sick of them. I'm so sick of them because they're almost all dumb. And yes, I comment too, whatever. Deal with it. Bryan Singer. There's always so much talk now about the X-Men Days of Future Past, and I'm like... I'm so sick of the news because Bryan Singer is teasing this. They're teasing this. There's rumors about that. Apparently, like, you know, Cyclops and Jean Grey could be there. Yeah, it's bullshit. I'm not even gonna read it because I don't give a fuck. Like, I want to see the movie, but on the other hand, I'm kind of sick with the X-Men movies unless Fox loses the rights somehow. And which they won't, but will be cool. And then Marvel gains it back, and they do it their own take and put it into their thing, you know. And apparently, there was another rumor that is interesting. That was in Latino Review. Apparently, there was some rumors floating around. That's the thing with rumors: some, you know, true, some not so much, some have some truth, whatever. But it's like The Rock was supposed to be. Play Lobo in a potential Lobo movie. They have been talking about a Lobo movie for a while, but DC is all talk, and then yeah, we make another Batman movie. You know, that's they talk about this and that and whatever. And other than, you know, in the last years, everything has been goddamn Batman. You had a shitty Catwoman movie. You had a shitty, horrible Catwoman movie that had nothing to do with anything. You had a so-so Superman movie, which I'm still not quite sure if I like or not. I mean, it's actually pretty shitty, to be honest. I mean, it's not completely horrible. It's got a lot of good elements, but it's not good enough to stand on its own. It's very much like a homage to the old movies that I love. And I'm not against them using the music, but I know they won't use the music because it's Christopher Nolan, and we're going to hear the... washing machine pumping sound is the I mean, like, what the fuck, you know? I mean, I'm so sick of that. You know what? Theme songs back in the day, you could remember them. I remember that shit today. I remember it forever. I'm not saying they should have used the old Superman theme song, but it would have been still cool, and just that one element to keep that music. But okay, fine, you want to use new music, fine, but make something really worthwhile. Like, I'm always going to go back to the fucking Dark Knight movies. They don't have any memorable music. In general, movies today don't have memorable music. It is atmospheric, yes, and I guess it fits, but it's just so, like, wishy-washy, like, nothing. The only movie now that has a memorable theme song is The Avengers. I'm going to say it again. And also the other Marvel movies, you know, but especially the Avengers. Like, it's epic, it's strong, it's powerful. It's, you know, it's how, you know, this classical style movie music should be, especially for a superhero movie. You know, that's how it should be. I forgot who the guy is who did it, but I think it's the same guy who did Back to the Future music. And he did a great job. You know, this is how movie music should be. You know, I mean, Hollywood, you have done it before. You can do it again. Don't have to be afraid, you know. It's always this fear that if you not don't make $1 billion, then the movie is a complete failure. You know, it's like, I get it. Making a movie costs a lot of money. You have promotion, you have special effects, you got sets, you got actors to pay, you got cameramen, you got script writers, all this jazz. And I totally understand, you know. I mean, you want to go and you want to have a number one hit and shit, whatever. But you also have to do risks. Look at Avengers. Yes, you are now. Now everybody's saying, of course, you want to do a cinematic universe all the time. Bullshit. At least be honest. Especially you, Warner. I'm looking at you. You never had the intention of doing that until you had the Avengers movie. And now you're already backing away saying, oh, we don't like the script and shit. Although I do think it's a good idea. And I really hope that they are still going to do it. And I'm pretty sure they will, as long as Man of Steel does a good chunk of money, and the second Marvel Phase 2 is doing well. Yes, they will do it. How are they going to do it? Are they going to do it with the model, like doing a couple of movies to build up to the big Justice League movie? Are they going to do a World's Finest movie first? I don't know. I would be fine with World's Finest, but it would be a little bit more boring. And honestly, if they really want to compete with Avengers, they gotta do Justice League, and it's gonna be super insane. It's gonna be a much bigger threat. I mean, honestly, you know, not just saving the world for Justice League is enough. They have to save the universe, especially if they want to be different than Avengers, you know. And doing Darkseid, I wouldn't put him in the first movie, because you gotta plan a couple of movies at least two or three, you know. And if you do it right, you can make an insane amount of money. I mean, seriously, you know. And I am on the thing that people have been saying they should do the multiple movies and then build it up to there. That could work. I'm for that. But the problem with DC Marvel, DC Warner, takes them forever to do shit. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see with Man of Steel. How much money Man of Steel is going to make is going to decide. And then who knows if the big wigs are going to change there, and then they decide something else. And oh, we're just going to make another Batman movie, and then we're going to make another 5 Batman movies. And then people are going to be sick of Batman movies, and then we're going to make a Watchmen reboot. And it's going to be all dark and grittier. Because that's how movies are made. Dark and gritty. Yeah. Anyway. I talked about this topic in a fucking how many episodes, and I really have to talk about something else, seriously, because it's just pissing me off beyond no belief. The RPG Brigade, I've been checking that out. I've been loving it. I'm thinking of doing a separate role-playing game podcast, because I have a bunch of content. And I still need to upload the episodes that I haven't, and I want to, but I want to do the custom title cards. I know, why bother, whatever. But because I want to do it not half-assed, I want to do it full-assed. You know, I want to do it with all how I want to do it. And if it takes longer, it takes longer. That's just how it is. There's a couple of YouTube videos on the RPG Brigade I want to answer to. There's so many videos I want to do, but there's so goddamn little free time. Anyway, YouTube Brigade, cool. There's not too much. There's this one world this guy's building. Like, he has got a continent, like a tongue, an earth, like a island tongue. and everybody had the choice to choose. They were all set up in hexes, and everyone had there was numbers you could choose for the hexes, and then you could tell what you wanted to have on there, and so on and so forth. And that was pretty cool. I chose something, and two hexes, and one is a city, the other is a dwarf clan guild, a clan. And yeah, well, that's pretty cool. This is I don't have any notes right now, so this is one of those episodes, you know. But fortunately, hopefully, I will have a episode recorded this weekend, so I don't have to always do this thing, which is not so good. So there's been a lot of discussions. I mean, the RPG Brigade, I mean, it's so many people are constantly talking about stuff, and it's really exciting stuff. It's just I need to read them, but reading them all just is crazy. Yeah, well, what is there else to talk about? I'm about to finish Star Trek, the original series, and it has been a blast, honestly. Like, the whole ruse with the red shirts and Captain Kirk and him always fraternizing, and then, you know, every meme, every TV trope, that it's so strong in there, and it's through the entire series, and it's so hilarious and awesome in a way. And yeah, what is it? Oh, I have been listening to another RPG related podcast. I don't know quite the name. What is it called? Something D&D Classics. It's a podcast about classic first edition D&D, and they're talking about mostly stuff about, you know, first edition. And I don't know that much about first edition. I know it's very simple, whatever. The closest thing I ever did play with first edition is when I played Microlite 20, which is a version of D&D that somebody just made, and it's an open source one. It's available freely, legally, on the internet. And it's been... Microlite 20 is basically a super, super simple D&D, and it's more similar to the old-school D&D, but it's not the old-school D&D. So I still didn't have really the chance to play that. So I'm curious, though. And they're talking about these different topics from that kind of angle, because that's apparently the game they love to play. And honestly, I'm like, I want to play it, but I don't know how much I would like it. Like, not because it's old, because they've been saying, you know, they don't like it because it's old. Hell, I love Marvel TCR, and I love Rifts, and both of these games are older. You know, they're not as old as D&D First Edition, obviously, but they are older. I mean, Marvel's classic TCR from TCR is from the 80s. It's one of the earliest... Yeah, I know it's not the first superhero RPG, but it's one of the earliest, and definitely the first Marvel, the first superhero RPG set in the Marvel universe. But anyway, there has been a couple of discussions, and I just want to talk about them a little bit. Is that there's this one girl, Sun and Stats. She's a pretty new channel, and she was saying that how to have, you know, if you build up a mystery, do you railroad your players to the place, to the event that you want to happen, to the point in the story that you want to happen, or do you just let them go freely and let them do their thing, and if they succeed, they succeed, if they don't, they don't? The way how I'm with that is it really depends on the group. I'm gonna say this, reiterate this once I write it down and make a video, but I just want to talk about it here, just for topic sakes. So, the way how I do it is, it really depends on the group. Some people like a lot of freedom in their games, where they can just wander around and I give them stuff to do, and it's more of a random game. And some people want to have a specific goal. They want to play in a campaign. They want to know. They want to have a quest, and they want to do this quest, and then they want to do the next quest, and so on. They're very focused players, and then there's everything in between, right? And how my group is now is that they're pretty much, they were on a module, playing the module, and in a way that you could see this as a quest, but in a way it wasn't finished, because they had, they're in this abandoned silver mine, and they have to rid it from goblins, and it turns out a lot of the goblins were were rats too, and now they encounter zombies, and one of the players, Jerry Terrifying, his barbarian had the idea of making a pump and like a water pump and pumping the nearby river into the silver mine. Now, some people would say, well, it doesn't fit in the medieval fantasy, blah, blah, blah. Whatever, shut up. It's my world, I can say what works and what doesn't, what tech is available and what isn't. A pump is not something that is even, I don't know how long they had pumps, but that's something that, is plausible. You have some kind of a air device thing, and then, maybe with the sealants there was some, but you got magic, so fuck it, you might just move the water into there, I mean, who the fuck knows? Anyway, so they went to the nearby town of Ashlia, and so I developed that town, and I put some locations there, and now I made something there. So the thing is, the DM, or the GM, or whatever you want to call it, the DM is not in complete control of the events, and I do like that, because I don't have to come up with motivations and stuff. Like, I come up with quests, with potential quests, and things, and storylines that they could do. Like, and that's the thing, is that I used to do a lot of stuff off the cuff and use a lot of random generators, and I wouldn't do that much preparation. Now I do preparation, but how I do it is I'm trying to think with the player's mind and trying to give them something to do in every direction, like north, north, south, west, east, and then northeast, north, to every direction as far as they could get in like a couple of days travel. If I have something that they can do in every direction, then we have a story, then we have a game. Like, that's my ideal plan. Of course, that doesn't always fit. So I have been known to railroad the story to a certain point. And a lot of times with the game, with the player's approval, because they don't want me to, that they don't want that we play out every day of the road of the trip. And for example, a easy solution to motivating the player is to give one of the players a affliction of some sort, and they have to find, and this can be anything, it can be a normal sickness, it can be a cursed weapon, it can be that he's possessed by an evil spirit, and then they have to, it can be that they contracted lycanthropy or vampirism or something like that. And then there can be a whole quest around that they have to find a certain location where they can get repaired, in a sense. And the first Tall Egot sessions, there was this point where that happened, where the characters went to this one place and they got their weapons with magical imbuement, they got their weapons magically imbued with powers. And I basically told them that, I gave them the choice, because I like choice and stuff. And, this might not be canonical and not be right with the rules, but fuck it. I just had a wizard and, pay so much money and I can, the one Jerry asked for, that his weapon, his axe, would have fire damage. So he got fire damage extra to his axe, so he had a fire axe. And I remember, what is it? Retro wanted a wand that had a gargoyle attached to it. Like, there was the gargoyle on the top, or he might have found that staff, but there was a gargoyle on the top, and he could summon that gargoyle, calling him Lex, and he still has that, and it's a pretty cool item, artifact. You might argue that it's a wondrous item or something, but it's like a genie from a lamp, only not as powerful, because the gargoyle has normal gargoyle stats. So you had CF critical failure, he imbued his sword with a light spell. So it's like shines light. So, and that's a more practical thing, but it is useful. And it looks pretty cool too. So, and then Shinta, he wanted to have some kind of darkness power, you know, because he thought that would be cool. I said, oh dear, you just opened a can of worms, my friend. That's what I thought to myself as a devious DM, is that the thing is, I give the players opportunities to dabble with magic and stuff like that. And there is going to be people, there's going to be a time where I can very easily put in some element that suits my needs. Like here it was, they put the darkness on the he put the kind of the darkness energy on the sword, and which gave him more damage and became more powerful. But the more he was killing, the more he was fighting, suddenly he was hearing these voices, and it was very subtle at first. But then it turned out that the sword was attracting evil spirits and controlling him slowly. And they went back to the wizard, and the wizard told him the only person who can fix this. Who was that? Where did they go? Oh yeah, yeah. That's when they went to Tarl Igot, because they weren't at Tarl Igot, right? And then they had to go to Tarl Igot, and they were from Greenspam. They went to. They had the adventure in the Tower of the Necromancer, which was south of Greenspam. And that's the cool thing, is that it's my world, so I can set up and set the canon and say what's good or not and change things as it goes. Because that's another discussion they had, that they didn't like to play in pre-published worlds and campaign settings, or also in worlds that are based off of TV shows or movies, because everything is kind of set. And you have to always be aware of, you couldn't do this, you couldn't go there, you couldn't talk to this guy, you couldn't just, you know, you would have to know all the history and shit. And, you know, if you wanted to play it canon, you know, like canon in a sense that, you know, Forgotten Realms, you know, you couldn't have just this monster, or you couldn't, you know, you couldn't have five drows in a group, because, you know, you would make Drizdo Urden look very, you know, him being a drow that became good is a very rare thing. You know, it's maybe a unique thing to him. You know, he was not a normal drow. He was a mutation, in a sense that he didn't want it to be evil. He wanted it to be good, because the drow are literally, in a sense, born evil. So, and you know, there's a lot of people who wanted to play drows. So in the D&D game, I remember 3.5, they had this race, half-drows, to satisfy those people, the Dritzt fanboys, you know. And Dritzt is pretty cool. So in my world, I can just say, well, maybe drow, you know, they're not inherently evil. They're more prone to be evil, but there's multiple drows that can decide to be good and become heroes, you know. But they're still outcasts, you know. Maybe not as much as they are in Forgotten Realms, but they can still be seen as outcasts, you know. And then they could, you know, do other things. And it's because it's my world, I can decide which race goes in, which race goes out, what magic works, what magic doesn't. And any of the players, they want to use something, and I'm fine with it, then that's in that world, you know. And it's not just my creation, you know. Their characters help shape the world and which direction they go. This part of the world is developed. Because really, when I started developing the world, I said, you know, I could make the map and then put cities and towns in every square and, like, have everything set up. Because I used Campaign Builder, right? But I said, no, I'm going to make a huge world, continents, like, there's a bunch of different continents, and then I started on a section, you know. The way how I started was, I'm not saying, I thought it was a cool idea, because I started with this world, with the idea, with the intent to play it with 4.0, because those are the books I had. I said, this is the new D&D, I'm going to go with this, and I did like it. I still like 4.0. 4.0 is a great system because it's easy to play, it's easy to DM. Is it the best system in the world? No. It's a very beginner system, but I can see a lot of potential in it. And you can still, I still think it's a proper D&D. It's different, but it's still proper D&D. And I think the complaints are from a lot of old school D&Ders who couldn't understand why the Dragonborn and the Tiefling is in the racebook and why the gnome isn't. And let's be honest, who the hell was ever playing a gnome? You would either play, if you wanted to play a smaller race, you either played a halfling or a dwarf. And both of those were available, you know. And it's like, I do enjoy the Eladrin, the Dragonborn, and the Tieflings, because they were something interesting and something new. But anyway, so I started with the in the Game Master's Manual of D&D 4th Edition, they have a small area mapped out, you know, into showing you how you can start making a world. And I read that, and there was actually, it was really well done, and they had an adventure there, and all the published adventures were playing in that surrounding on the beginning, right? So you didn't have to set your world in Forgotten Realms. Like, they never said the world is set in a specific world. Like, they have it in a basic world where they're saying, you know, the kingdoms have fallen and there's small city-states, and that's what I based it off of, because, but they really said, it's go ahead, do what you want. But if you want, you can set it in Forgotten Realms, because we have that book too. You could set it in Dark Sun, because we have it. That was also published. And also Gamma, whatever, Gamma Ray, you know, when it's post-apocalyptic. So there's options. So you can set it in Forgotten Realms or Dark Sun. Like, Dark Sun would interest me, because that's like post-apocalyptic fantasy, and that's a very survival thing, and that would be really cool, I think, because I liked also the games. I just like the idea of the world, because it's very different. Forgotten Realms, I would like to play, but with somebody who really knows the shit about Forgotten Realms. And I would actually like to play it. I don't know if I would like to DM it, because then, especially when I'm playing with guys who know Forgotten Realms, I'm like, oh, you meet Elminster. And I'm like, they would say, oh, you couldn't meet Elminster because at that time in the world he was in the edge of the elf country and shit like that. I'm like, oh, fuck you, you know. And then I would just say, you know, you can just say, this is my Forgotten Realms. This is my multiverse version of the Forgotten Realms. You know, there's infinite possibilities of the Forgotten Realms. And it's also established in the D&D universe that you have the set universes, and you have many alternate universes, like infinite, and then you have the hell worlds, you know, hell with the, how you got the elemental plane, and it goes down to where the devils are, and then it goes to the abyss, the deepest point, and then above that you got the astral plane. On the side you got still the Shadowfell and all that shit, but that's how it's built up. So every player who makes their own universe, it's, and plays D&D, it's a parallel universe in the D&D multiverse. So who says there cannot be alternate versions of the Forgotten Realms or Dark Sun? Well, you could have Dark Sun, but it's Dark Sun in the future, or it's just Dark Sun where you have these extra races and shit like that. You know, in Dark Sun would be easy to have extra races, because, you know, they have mutations and shit, and have the giant bug people. So, but anyway, point is, what I was trying to say is, I'm not quite sure anymore what I was trying to say, because it's mega tangents. Oh yeah, so I took that what is it? The Nentir Veil. I took the Nentir Veil, and I set it into my world. I picked a spot where it would fit in. I measured. I checked the sizes of the Nentir Veil, and then, because Campaign Cartographer is really cool, I made my map. I made it really big, huge continents, you know, maybe a little bit too big, but honestly, it's cool in a way, because I'll say that later. But I put down the Nentil way one-to-one, as good as I could, with the tools, with the little pictures. You know, you have a bunch of, you can make the continents, and you can put in, like, trees, and bushes, and mountains, and all this shit, and cities, and whatever, and ruins. And then I started basically one-on-one putting in the Nanterre Veil. Like, I had the measurements, because the way how it's mapped in the Dungeon Master's Manual is that there's no coastline. Like, that's the cool thing. And I think it's intentionally made that you could take this Nanterre Veil and grow it into your own fantasy world. I think that was even mentioned. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go with this. I'm going to try to make it like this, you know? Because I had another fantasy world that I developed for my GURPS campaign, but for some reason I didn't want to play in that. Because not because I didn't like it, it's because I wanted to reboot that. I wanted to work on that more before I would play it. And maybe I would play, use GURPS again to play, to DM in it. But that world will be played in again. But this world, I just wanted to have, this is just going to be for D&D hack and slash style game, and I'm not too worried about it. You know, that's the other thing. Don't try to make the perfect world where everything is perfect and great as you want it. Just try, just start making a world, put in, you know, just, all what I did is I put in the Nanterre Veil, you know, all the towns, the cities, and I measured the distances and everything, and it worked out. And then I started growing the town, you know, I started growing it on the sides, and then, oh, there's this mountain range here, and here's this town, and here's a vale, you know, a valley with a big mountain in the middle where there's a tower and shit like that, and there's a lake, and there's this thing, and suddenly I had a world, you know, I had these continents, and most of it was empty because it's so big, but that area now that is filled is like a huge area, and the players, it's like, it's so big that the players have not really extended that, you know. And there was one time, basically my plan is that I have other DMs develop the other continents. Now, again, this is something that can work, that can fail, but to a degree it did work, because we had CF run the Microlight 20 target sessions, and he wanted to do a game like Legends of the Fire Rings, kind of an oriental style country, you know, like Japan or China or something like that, with that kind of mythology and that kind of magic and samurai and kung fu and all that stuff. And he wanted to do that, and I said, okay, here's this continent, because I had another continent, and it's funny because in my world, that world is in the west, you know, so, you know, this is not the far east, so it's the far west, and it's just, you know, because it's a different world, but why wouldn't it be like that? And so he started, you know, playing a game, and, you know, he told me then where he put the cities and stuff, and we settled on a name, and it became Akumba when we used certain generators too, and we just came up with the best. And then, you know, he told me about, and I told him, when you're going to run this, and please fill out the map. And he did do that to a degree. And then I continued to set in some of the stuff, you know. And Akumba is also not a complete continent yet with all the elements in it. But that's fine, because the part that we played in, there was more than enough to play. And it's mostly the southern part is done, but the northern part needs to be filled out. But that could be happening and with another team, you know. And the thing is, I'm always, if I know the general direction the players are going, then I'm going to develop that area more, you know. Right now, they're in a place where wherever they travel, there's going to be cities, towns, dungeons, and what so on. And I can always add in new stuff, you know. I can always add in, you know, an extra dungeon, an extra town. I literally got modules, and, you know, they were saying, oh, there's Silverton, and I just put in Silverton in that area. You know, I could also change the names, and some of the towns I changed to the town names that I have already there and set it into my world. You know, you always got to modify, mix, and match, and make it fit. And sometimes you can just use it straight up, because, you know, why shouldn't there be a town called Silverton in this area, you know? And it's cool, because then you have also the players move, and there's another continent there that... I asked the good friend of the show, Lucifer's Lawyer, who I played with, and he DM'd us, and he's pretty good actually. And I asked him to continue to develop a continent where he, and where his when I was DMing the short group of D&D 4th edition, which I don't think will continue. But that's going to be in the past. So that's the other thing, is that keeping your world history, like keeping a some kind of logbook, you know. I record my sessions, you know. I don't post them all, but I do record them all. That's not a thing I'm going to do. My online sessions, at least. And because then you have, you know, you can always listen to it and it's cool memories, but you have also stuff that you can use for future stuff, you know, like future campaigns. Like the stuff that they do will have an impact on the world, you know. And the thing is, the new campaign is set like about 200, 300 years after Tarl Egad. Now, there's still Tarl Egad episodes I have to publish, so it's kind of weird, but, you know, it didn't work out how I wanted to. But the point is, there even has to be one more session of Tarl Egad to finish it off. So there could be still stuff happening in a way retroactively, but nothing that would, you know, change anything from the how the world of Dare is now, you know. And it's turning out to an interesting world. I mean, it's more or less a generic fantasy world, but I want to throw in more of the oddball races and monsters and storylines and stuff. And it's a huge, gigantic world, and I'm already working on at least one other continent, which is going to be my version of Mordor. It's in the south, it's the southern continent. And I can't wait for the players to... Originally I wanted them to go there in the Tarl Egad campaign, but that campaign has run its course, but we need to still play one more session, the final battle against the Silver Prince, and you won't understand what that means until I upload the episodes. So that's something, again, I have to do. But anyway, I think that's going to be all for now. And it's a slightly... Well, not that short. It's 51 minutes, so it's pretty much a normal Beastcast episode. And I was a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm thinking of making a separate role-playing podcast, but I don't want to do too many, you know, because... It's like this, that podcast I'm thinking of getting a guest, that would be like me and somebody else, me and Critical Failure or something, or somebody, I don't know, Retro Kaiser, and that would be not a weekly affair, you know, that would be once a month maybe, but then that would be longer, like I would want to make it maybe 2-3 hours or as long as we would feel doing it, you know. And maybe somebody from the RPG Brigade, you know, and I'm open to, if you're interested, if you're listening to this and you're interested in joining a role-playing game podcast, or even coming to this podcast and talking about role-playing games, you'll feel free to contact me over, you know, you can contact me over Facebook, Skype, Twitter, YouTube, email address, you know, there should be all my website, and it should be pretty easy to get in touch with me, you know, because I check everything daily, multiple times. So, anyway, that's all I have for now for this week's episode, and hopefully now some couple of changes are going to happen in real life that will enable me to make more content more regularly. So that means if everything goes right and everything will be good, it's going to be Beastcast Thursdays. And not Beastcast, I say Thursdays and then it's Friday or Saturday, you know, like really Thursdays. And I want to make this like that properly, you know. So anyway, well, this was everything, and may the Deathmug of Doom be with you.